It's actually in Luke chapter 7, where we're going to be reading today, not Colossians 2. So it's Luke chapter 7. You can hold it out. It's 957 in your blue pew Bible. And today I want to introduce you to a very religious man, and his name is Simon. And Simon knew a lot about God. Simon taught people about God, but Simon didn't really know God, and Simon didn't give God the glory and honour that he deserved. And so within Simon's life, this religious man's life, within his traditions and everything he was doing, he'd missed something important about God. And what he'd actually become was a very judgmental person, wrapped up in his own religion, his rules and his tradition. So we're going to look at this story. It's in the Bible, in Luke 7. That is where Jesus meets this woman at this man's house at a party. And it's a true story, it's a real story about a real Jesus who claimed to be God and claimed to declare God's love for sinners. So this story is about 2,000 years old, but it's relevant for us today because it involves the same kind of people in our culture, in our world today. We have the very religious teacher, and we have a scandalous woman. So I'm going to read it to you, this passage, when I get my little piece of paper over. It's always good when you're doing that. But that'll give you time to find it. So it's going to read from 36 to 39. One of the Pharisees asked him, that's Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she had learned that he was reclining at a table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Well, in this story that we have, Jesus is there at this party. He's at Simon's house. We actually see this later on in the passage. And Simon's this kind of religious guy that only invites certain people to his house. They're generally the good religious type. They're the people that fit into his social circles. Simon is a Pharisee. This was a religious teacher of the time who taught God's law, a man who strived to live a holy life. And if you looked at this guy's religious lifestyle, it would have been impressive. You would have not have been able to compete with all the rituals, all the prayers, all the readings this guy did. And so this guy, Simon, invites Jesus as a special guest, maybe as a guest speaker to his house. This was often a custom of the day. You would invite someone over who was maybe someone of a bit of a celebrity, have them over for tea, get some locals around, and let the guy speak. So today we just go home, we watch YouTube, we watch the news, we watch one of those silly shows, and we get the same experience. But for the first century, they had a party, invite people around, get someone around to talk, hear their story, and hence why Jesus was always criticised for being a bit of a party goer, because he got invited out to all these places to talk and tell people about the kingdom of God. And so up until now, Jesus created a bit of a stir around the area. His teaching, his authority has been challenging people, have been telling people about the kingdom of God, calling people to repent and follow him. And so Jesus is saying to all the people around, listen, listen, your life is running away from God. Stop. Turn around and start moving your life towards God. He's saying it to the rich, the poor, the religious, the outcasts, the sinners, whoever they were, from the prostitute to the religious leader. He was saying it all. Chapter 5, you know, he forgave the paralyzed men of his sins, the man who got lowered down through the ceiling. Roof, that's it. So we're not sure exactly why Simon invited Jesus to his house. It could have been he was interested in his teaching. He may have wanted to catch Jesus in a bit of a debate, in a bit of a trap. This is often the tension that we saw Jesus and the religious leaders trying to attack him, find fault. But what's clear is Jesus has been invited there and other people are coming. The people in the town know, the locals, verse 49, other people are there. And the locals hear, this is where Jesus is hanging out. So let's go and check it out. So they're coming to the party because Jesus is there. They've heard in verse 39, Jesus is at Simon's house. Now maybe today you've come here to hear about Jesus. Maybe you're curious, maybe you've known Jesus for a long time. And so people are still coming today, 2,000 years later, to hear what Jesus has to say, hear what he's got to teach people. And so Luke's drawing our attention to two people, the religious host and this unexpected guest. So the story hits off with Jesus, he's reclining at the table, he's eating and drinking, and suddenly a sinner enters the house. Now today we don't sort of like to label people, but back then they didn't have an issue with that. But what a label to have, isn't it? Sinner. Imagine having that label today. There goes the sinner. You know, maybe a bit like there goes the loser, the feral. You know, we have labels in our culture and we don't normally use them too much, but they're labels. Now, everyone knows who this woman is who walks in. She has a label. Hey? Would have been interesting, wouldn't it? It's all right, Travis, take a seat. So today when we think about the idea of a sinner, or we think about sin, you often think, oh, you know, someone's been a bit naughty, or that casual sort of flirting person, or someone eats a bit of chocolate too much, you know, a bit of gluttony, a bit of a sinful thing. But for them, culturally, it was someone who lived that morally bad life. As Christians, we know what that means. We know what the Bible teaches about that. But this was the kind of person that dishonors family, community, and most of all, God. So there's that, you know, relational right around all the way up to God. They've gone too far from God, and they've actually deemed hopeless, a hopeless case. Simply looked down and labelled as sinner, judged, and say, look, there's no, they're lost cause, no hope for this person. And so this nameless woman, she gets the name Sinner. That's a good name, isn't it? Sinner. Simon, the religious leader, he gets his name, Simon, he's got an actual name. And so we have these two opposite cultural people, two socially opposites. So we have this this woman, and she's called the woman of the city. You know, I bet you could say Simon was a man of the, what they say, man of the cloth or a man of the synagogue. But here's this woman of the city. I think Luke is being very modest about this woman. I think there's a reason. I don't think he's trying to point a big picture, but most likely she's a prostitute. Most likely she's a sex worker. You can easily see how her lifestyle would have gotten the name Sinner. You know, 2,000 years ago, they looked down on that sort of practice, and we still do today, don't we? We don't see people as making the right career choice in going into prostitution. We don't say that's a good thing. It's not something we're hoping for our children to pursue, is it? And I wonder even for yourself, if you were at a party or you're hosting a party and a prostitute walked in the door, a sex worker, how would you feel about that? Would you go, yeah, no worries, come and take a seat, I'll serve some cocktails? Or would you actually go maybe call the police? So it's not a career that people are obviously proud of, but here we have this woman walking into this party. And maybe she's been in this situation, this lifestyle, because of difficulties, circumstances, maybe bad relationships, bad decisions. Today we have, you know, women and people into this sort of occupation, career, whatever you want to call it, because they've made some really bad decisions and they're stuck with it. You know, drug addictions. So maybe this woman that Jesus encounters in Luke 7 has these really just bad past experiences that's just got us into a situation you just can't get out of. But imagine the courage it took her to walk into this party. Imagine the effort to walk into the room full of people who despised her, despised her lifestyle, judged her. Knowing that people saw her as a lost cause. Maybe people are sitting there murmuring about her as they walk in. Isn't she the woman who broke up Levi's marriage? You know, have you ever walked into a room and felt a little bit odd, a bit the odd one out? Maybe today you feel a bit the odd one out. But if you understand this story correctly, you'll discover that she is in the best place possible because we all share in the same problem that she has, which is sin. The good news is that Jesus has something to teach us all. This woman clearly seems more concerned about finding Jesus rather than worrying about what others say around her, what labels people have given her. She courageously comes to Jesus, hoping her life will change. Let's think about this woman. She probably started her life as a young girl of hopes and dreams. And now she feels just completely trapped and enslaved by all this guilt and shame and this pattern of sin in her life. And she has nowhere to turn. If she goes to culture, they're just sitting there judging her. If she goes to a religious teacher, they said, oh, sorry, not for me. And she feels a slave in her lifestyle, trapped, rejected. But she hears about Jesus, what he's been doing, forgiving sinners. People like her, the outcast. She heard that he eats with people. Maybe she's been in one of the previous crowds and she just couldn't get close enough to Jesus. Maybe she grew up being in the Jewish region, grew up knowing right from wrong. And she knew that her problem is deeper than just the prostitution. It's this deep down shame in her life of dishonouring God, her creator. Not just in one aspect, but all of her life. And she's longing for this acceptance and forgiveness. And Jesus seems to be someone great to her, maybe a prophet. So when she finds Jesus, she anoints his feet with this expensive perfume. She's weeping. Her tears are washing his feet, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, kissing his feet. They sat away from the table, sort of described, so they sort of leaned maybe up against it. And here's this woman, overwhelmed by Jesus, showing love and affection to him. Now, to those in the party, this would have looked horrific. This was seductive and provocative. I mean, touching a woman was not the cultural thing to do. Plus, this woman was a sinner, an outcast. Imagine the people looking on. Why is this woman acting this way? Why is she, in a sense, worshipping Jesus this way? Yeah, drink. That's better, I think. So look at Simon the host. He's not impressed at all. This religious guy is embarrassed at this whole event in his house. This is his party. Jesus is his special guest. And he's horrified. Now, I'm sure he was thinking, who does this sinner think she is? As for Jesus, this so-called impressive teacher and prophet, if he really knew who this woman was, well, he would tell her, get away from me, sinner. You have no place at this party, nor near me, nor touching me. And even the very perfume she uses would have offended this guy to the extreme and those around him. It was quite a show. You see, perfume would have been used to seduce men, to connect the men to her practice. So she would have used the perfume to seduce those men as part of her prostitution, and the same ointment she's using on Jesus. The same lips that seduced men, that kissed men, is kissing Jesus' feet. What a disgrace. That's what they'd be thinking. If Jesus is really a prophet, then he wouldn't allow this behavior to continue. But Jesus does know. And Jesus knows both the woman and Simon. And so Jesus replies to Simon's arrogant thinking. Verse 40 to 43. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, "Say it, teacher." He's a pretty confident sort of guy, isn't he? "Just give it to me. Say it, teacher. I can handle it." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. "Now, which of them would love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." So Jesus gives this little story. I love the way how Jesus connects to this guy. So he says two stories. One guy owes 500 denarii, which is about 20 months' wages. And the other guy owes 50, which is about 2 months. So both debts are cancelled. The question is, who would love the moneylender more? The answer, which Simon gets 10 out of 10 for, is the one who owes the greater debt. So, wow, Simon, you're a pretty clever guy. You've got it. But Jesus just doesn't end the story there. He just continues on. Just presses a little bit heavier, doesn't he? Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, verses 44, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, this is a great illustration of the redemption of our God. You know, this parable, the moneylender, highlights the fact that the one who owes more loves more when the bigger debt is cleared. Simon, his religious life didn't get that. He didn't understand it. He was very arrogant. He was arrogant to how he actually sinned himself. And he thought he owed God very little. He lived a good life according to how he saw others, didn't he? He sort of judged others. Yet underneath his life, he still dishonored God. Jesus points this out to him by the way he treated Jesus as a guest. The prostitute, she humbly worshipped Jesus. She came to him knowing she needed forgiveness. She came to honor Jesus as Lord. Simon, he simply arrogantly sat back and did nothing but criticize. Don't you just love the way Jesus engages this man's heart in a loving way? He loves Simon too. Have you ever met that kind of person? They know a lot of religious talk, but they have very little to show for it. And all they do is criticize everyone around them, yet in their lives, they fail to honor Jesus. Simon, the religious teacher, criticizes Jesus for allowing the woman to worship him in such a controversial way. He criticizes Jesus, declaring him to be not even a prophet. Surely not. You would know who this woman is, let alone being the Son of God or of some eternal authority. And Simon failed to humbly love and honor Jesus. The same forgiveness that was offered to the prostitute was on offer to Simon, the religious guy. Jesus was there. Jesus was invited to talk at the party, and he would have been talking about the kingdom of God and forgiveness from God. Yet it turned out that Jesus' way of forgiveness annoyed Simon. Simon wants Jesus at the party. He wants Jesus around, but he doesn't think he actually needs Jesus. He doesn't believe he's really bad enough before God. He doesn't have a love and desire to worship Jesus. And how Jesus forgives sinners annoys him. It doesn't fit in with his grid. It doesn't fit in with how he thinks God ought to act. I think many of us today like having Jesus around, don't we? When we have him at life's party. But we can often sometimes be embarrassed by Jesus. We can often be annoyed in the way Jesus forgives us, annoyed at his teaching. We can often have a shallow love like Simon's towards Jesus. See, love is not just a feeling, it's a response. It's a response to who Jesus is and what he can do for us. Like Simon, we don't understand why Jesus came, that if we did, we would love and honor him. would worship him humbly, come before his feet. Worship is giving our worth to something. And this woman's story is of love and worship to Jesus. For most of her life, all her attempts to find worth has been around other men. And that pursuit gave her guilt and shame. But now she's found Jesus, the hope of being accepted, forgiven, spiritually healed of shame, made right before God. Why does a sinner worship Jesus? Because Jesus, in Jesus there is forgiveness found. Guilt and shame are put aside, wiped clean. See, if we believe we owe Jesus nothing, we will see his worth as nothing. If we think, I don't need Jesus, we'll see him as nothing. But if we believe we owe him a little, we will give him some more. But when we realize how much we have been forgiven, we'll give him all worth as we worship him as God. We can't humbly, lovingly worship Jesus until we realize how great our shame and guilt is within us. Then we are overwhelmed by Jesus. We are overwhelmed by Jesus. How great is God's love and forgiveness for us? In spite of our condition, Jesus forgives us. Simon overlooked his need to honor Jesus, whom he needed to deal with the wrong things in his life. His mistake was to criticize others rather than look and see how Jesus convicted his heart. Simon saw everyone else's problem and not his own. Rather than seriously and humbly take a look at Jesus, he just looked at everyone else and seen all their problems and judged them. How does the real Jesus we encounter today in this passage challenge our hearts? Could we be the same as Simon? We look around and we throw stones at everyone. But we overlook what Jesus is doing in our lives right now. Overlook what we're doing with Jesus. Simon criticized the woman for doing the wrong thing, yet, according to him, but yet he was doing nothing for Jesus. Simon had forgotten his responsibilities. He invited Jesus as a guest and yet failed to pay him any customary honor. He didn't wash Jesus' feet, which was custom to do for a guest. He didn't anoint Jesus with oil, another custom they did. Simon didn't honour Jesus with the basics. And the best he could do was to find fault with the woman who did. And the woman honoured Jesus with her tears and perfume. As a follower of Jesus, we can so often be critical of others, can't we? Others who love and worship Jesus. And in being critical and judgmental, we fail to worship and honour Jesus in our lives. And yet he's right there before us 24/7. We've actually invited him, but we fail to honour him. Isn't that a sad thing? We spend all our energy and time picking faults with others, those who are worshipping at Jesus' feet, and how sad it is that we would be the Simon in this story. That we would love little, whilst being critical of those who love much. We fail to give Jesus the honour in our own lives. Is Jesus speaking to us today? Did he see through your mask of religion, maybe you're hiding behind? Our culture sees through it. How, I thought about this, how horrific would it be if culture, the people around us, only see Christianity as those who criticise and mock others? That is the state of the gospel in our lives, that we're the Simon. This woman lived in a life of shame. She shamed herself, she shamed her family, she shamed her community and her God. And people looked down on her, looked down on her life, despised her, yet Jesus lifts her up, giving her complete forgiveness, the forgiveness she desperately needs. She can't find it within herself. You know, modern psychology would probably try that way. She can't find it. She's not going to get it from her family, not from her culture. They're all judging her. Not from the religious establishment at time. They're judging her too, but Jesus. That's what I said to the guy I was talking to at the library. It's about Jesus. We teach about Jesus because, you know, if you look at the ideas of religious structure and all that sort of thing, some of them are good things, but if we depend on that, we'll be burnt by that. But Jesus is the one. This is the one we want to hear speak. With Jesus, all our guilt and shame is dealt with. All the past stuff-ups are forgiven because he has God's authority. Isn't that good news? That's what the gospel means, good news. Often Christianity is seen as people trying to live a good life to get closer to God. That's what I explained to the guy at the library. I said, often we think that it's about the good life and we're over here and we're trying to earn it. But no, we are transferred into a child of God through Christ. It's about forgiveness in Jesus. Jesus corrects Simon when he thinks his life is better than a woman's. It may look really impressive from the outside. Maybe your life looks impressive from the outside. But Jesus sees your heart. He sees the real you. And Jesus is more than simply a teacher or prophet. He is God and he speaks for God's authority. He is God's appointed king, the one who redeems all people if they come to him in faith. The key is Jesus. That's what Luke wants us to know. That he paid for our sins. That faith is trusting in him. I wonder if you know that you're forgiven today with Jesus. Do you feel the weight of all the wrong things you've done? You know deep down that your life dishonors God. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you know that some of the things you're hearing today are convicting you. You need to come as this woman did to Jesus, humbly, seeking mercy, and in this worshipping him as well. You know, for the first part of my life, for the first 21 years of my life, I was the Pharisee. I was the Simon in this story. I grew up in a very strict religious household, and I looked down on others. I actually thought that I lived the righteous life and everyone else didn't. But Jesus gave me a wake-up call. That it was only as I looked at others that I seemed righteous. But deep down, my life had dishonored God, and I needed the same forgiveness and grace as this prostitute. What about your story today? I wonder where Jesus is right now. Maybe you've invited him to your party, but your life is focused on others and their failures. In your story, you failed to give Jesus the honour and worship because you're too busy judging others. Maybe your story is different. Maybe Jesus has been distant. You're like one of the crowds at the party, and you're sort of distant from Jesus. You're a bit of a spectator. But after hearing what Jesus has to say today, how are you responding? What's the next step that you need to take to get closer to Jesus? Maybe talk to a friend. Maybe read John's Gospel, a great gospel. We worship Jesus because he is God. And through him we are accepted, loved and forgiven. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you convict us once again. Lord, we can so easily be the Simon, the Pharisee in this story. So often we sit on our pedestal thinking we're good. We look at our ideas and judge others against it. Lord, as we come to you, as we see our hearts before you today, humble us, we pray. Convict us, Lord. We all need forgiveness, Lord. We all need redemption. Lord, help us to love as we understand how much we have been forgiven. Help us to worship as a result of how much we're forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing grace you give us. That we shouldn't be accepted by you, but you do. Your grace is sufficient, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and give you glory this day through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.